the bylaws. So we're going to have bylaws of the corporation, and in those bylaws, we can have provisions that will vary from the standard provision under state law in the event that you do not have anything in your organizational documents that addresses the particular issue. Things like shareholder meetings, any matters that are reserved for the shareholders themselves as opposed to the board of directors, the actual board of directors, how they're appointed, what their terms, when their meetings are, officers, duties, shares of stock, usually certificated, meaning that there are actually stock certificates. But in small corporations, it's not unusual that you wouldn't actually see a share certificate, and you may just see a schedule which says who are the owners of the various shares. The liability, of course, for corporations is limited to equity capital contributions, subject to what we all heard about somewhere along the way, probably in our careers, piercing the corporate veil. It's particularly important in special purpose corporations, those corporations formed just for a particular investment or project, to be sure that you follow the corporate niceties so that if something goes wrong, an investor or third party cannot pierce the corporate veil and impose personal liability on shareholders. And then, of course, it goes without saying, corporations organized under state law are classified as corporations for federal income tax purposes.
John, are you aware of why someone might want to choose a Texas corporation as compared to Delaware? Because when I was in private practice, they were all either Delaware or Cayman.
Yes, so the big corporations probably go to Delaware because it may be consistent with where they're organized. In my practice, with the corporations that I see organized that are more centralized, where maybe we're producing oil and gas strictly in Texas or maybe Texas and Louisiana, there's no reason. We're not planning to go public. We're not planning to have the benefit of some of the Delaware Chancery Court laws and rules. And so we'll stay local, and that way we're not filing multiple state reports, right? Because a good part of each one of these entities organized under state law is the state reporting that goes with actually organizing an entity under that. And if you organized in Delaware, but you are operating in Texas, you're going to have Texas reports that you're going to be filing, and you're also going to be filing Delaware reports. And if you don't need Delaware law, why would you organize up there? Okay, so we're going to jump now out of corporations to limited liability companies. Again, they're legal entities organized pursuant to state law. In this particular case, in Texas, just like you had a certificate of formation for the corporation, there's a certificate formation for the limited liability company. It'll name the registered agent, the governing authority. Here, there are two alternatives. There's what is called governance by the members, and unlike in partnerships where the owners are called partners, in limited liability companies, the owners are referred to as members. So the management of the entity can be reserved to the members, or we can appoint a board of director-like group. They're called managers, not directors. And those managers may be delegated the authority to run the business of the LLC. Again, you're going to have to state what your purpose is, and depending on whether this is broad or narrow, that will be taken into account. And then your supplemental provisions. This form is very short, and in the supplemental provisions, if you are going to have different classes of membership interests, voting versus non-voting, common versus preferred, that's where you would put the provisions dealing with that in the certificate. There are also some other things. Unlike the corporation that has bylaws, the limited liability company has what's called an operating agreement or a company agreement. And that company agreement, just like the bylaws, can override certain state law provisions. The company agreement can override certain state law provisions. And so you can be more specific or change the results that you would get under state law if your document is silent with regard to that particular matter or activity. Their operating agreement addresses things like capital contributions, whether there's any additional capital calls, restrictions on transferability if we're going to impose restrictions. Again, liability of shareholders or members is limited to the equity capital, but we bring up the piercing the LLC veil. Be sure that you follow the niceties. You have things like bank accounts. You actually hold meetings of members or meetings of the managers so that, that if ever attacked, you can defend against a piercing the corporate veil. From a tax standpoint, single member LLCs can be classified as disregarded entities or associations, taxable as corporations. And LLCs with two or more members are classified as partnerships unless they make an election to be classified as an association taxable as a corporation.